wants to add a name to it. And yeah, we're gonna tackle you. So to stand off the open mic for us.
That's uncanny.
Wow, that's so cool. Yeah. Yeah. Big up to the ball on the old camera work. We're gonna start the open mic with Linda Ibbotson.
This is a different time for me. It's not the arts, it's not Paris, it's not Venice. It's something that happened when I was unblocking the toilet. I think there's something in this. And interestingly, there's the word daffodils and Tesco in it. I was born and raised in Sheffield in semi-detached suburbia. So this is kind of some of my memories. And of course Sheffield being the city of steel and coal mines and brass bands. So home fires. It was the road that stifled me. Suburban trees standing as if sentries making sure you didn't leave. The forced smile of bay windows hiding what really went on inside. In the distance, steel eyes watched chain-smoking stacks, the end-of-work sirens releasing their black captives, coughing a trail of coal dust and emphysema. Brass bands played at their wake. Under middle-aged pillows, the taunting scent of heather, a reminder of a day of erotica on the Yorkshire moors. There is good news. A new Tesco at the end of the road. No more melting summer ice cream carried home on the 75 bus that always ran late. In spring, daffodils brighten the shade. Those kicked and broken, I picked in anticipation of my mother's smile. She remembers none of that now as I hold her hand, anchoring her still in this world, her mind as broken as the daffodils. I chose the open road, washed off grime in the Himalayas, thought about the pen pushers in the Tower of Steel, their jealous words, "I don't believe you will go," as green as the phlegm that filled their neatly embroidered handkerchiefs. In Greece, on a white beach in Parga, my body then, the shape of a sand-filled hourglass, drank warm wine I had tried to cool in the sea. Ate olives, the colour of their phlegm. Read My Family and Other Animals, the book I had read for O-level while plotting my escape. Returning home one winter to an empty house, the dead limbs of tree branches lay frozen with ice, while the fires of the crematorium still burn my ears.
Thank you, Linda. Next we'll have Mona Lynch, please.
After all these, it is time for a beginner who's here to learn. And this first little poem is self-explanatory. Become a poet when you are old. Don't make sense or give advice. Just find the word behind the word. Beware, it ducks and dives. Senility can gobble it before it lands. Peacock butterflies, those Heaney, Yeats, and Meehan words, fly just out of reach, a squawking crow in their wake. I read them all, wish those doughty words were mine. Life intervenes, that C word sticks. What rhymes with radio? And I have another one, and it's about Aoife's epic heatwave, done by a beginner. Heatwave in Mizzen. I'm sure you all know Mizzen in West Cork. Homes on the horizon, amid the gorse, gapped like the Kylox smile. Standing on Barley Cove Beach on the road to Mizzen, with my back to the sea. Busy sandhoppers rush on sand too hot to handle. I listen to the swish and slap of waves as they wash the black rocks. Lichen and sea poly spatter the splash zone. I climb the dunes for a view of Brow Head, wrapped in its rolling green blanket. I pause. I glimpse a cinnabar moth posing innocently, Moria, on the ragwort, laying his eggs where his offspring can extract its poison to save their own skin from all but the cuckoo. A squatter en route to invade the meadow pipits, take their home and toss their eggs. I step over this thriving metropolis, marvel at marum grass that holds the dunes together, embracing shifting sands, entangled with ladies' bedstraw, flea killer, bed filler, healing yarrow. All of this I would have missed had I crossed by the pontoon.
The Brexit deadline's looming large, a brainchild of Nigel Farage, who when he hears the final bell might find his special spot in hell. The stakeholders refuse to budge or contemplate a welcome fudge. Donald Tusk and Jean-Claude Juncker, Arlene Foster in her bunker. May's cabinet is cracking up. Three have refused her bitter cup. Now joined with Corbyn's defeated, deflected eight, they'll try to stem the tide of hate spread by hardliners still with clout, quite happy to be crashing out. Let's pray from one day to the next it won't end up a no deal Brexit.
Otherwise, busking for a better world domination, asking for little but company and a drink. Not much persuading needed, going without saying, a ghost army of friends still moving forward. These neutral shoes make up a supreme attire, once already centuries of the best mind, slinking in on the priest's apiary. His undocumented hanger on lingers still, listening no more in a private tune. Once incarcerated, forgotten forever. You claw your way to your chosen paths. Are we really different? Let me count the ways. Witches in the night, scavenged for drink. This historic case is not yours anymore. Holy peace with a number like a monkey. Dispense a will into a lottery basket. An infant scar stolen on the cruelty of strangers. Just as you are, defining purpose. Sanctuary of a house no longer relevant. The cryptic dissociation, conscious decoupling. New histories terrorize the guilty parties. Enduring love, not absent anymore. Potential past and presents merged together. The scripted burn of pages well cherished. Thank you.
Thanks,
Willow. I have another supermarket poem. It's called Waiting in a Line at the Supermarket. It's about my anxiety when I'm in a supermarket. Big problems. So, waiting in a line at the supermarket. Sorry, sir, I didn't mean to step on your shoe. I heard a pop when I broke your personal space. I have to say, there's something about supermarkets, the neon lights, the waste, the repetition, that makes me feel like an alien among aliens, that makes me want to pop every personal space I encounter, and laughing hysterically, and laughing like a kid, hold on to anything, search for anything, keep holding on, and keep searching. Sorry, sir, this line we're waiting in makes me want to bury myself under a tree. I want to bury you and the fat lady with the yogurt too. I'd drag you down with me, I'd step on your shoe and crouch, and then grab your ankle the way your nightmares go. Because what about the way that our particles have the tendency to mix with those of the earth, with those of the worms? Sorry, sir, I dropped my pomegranate so close to your shoe. I did it on purpose, I'm looking for the pop. Thank you for picking it up. And while you're at it, how dead do you think it is? How alive do you think it is? Sorry, sir, I do need to ask, does this look like a symbol to you? Honest to God, doesn't it feel like one? Do you think that that hair is a symbol as well? What do you stand for standing there? Is this a pose? Is that a pose? Wouldn't you prefer to feel like a rose? I pay for my one pomegranate and lost in my 9:45 p.m. sad line at the sad supermarket fantasies. The alien in the suit has disappeared and with him the fat alien with the yogurt. I flirt with thoughts of crazy. I wish I could laugh and speak in a thin little voice from the canyons which belongs to all aliens. In a not so prophetic now voice that comes from the rocks and oozes like gas. Could I disappear into your belly buttons? I'm looking for the mother of all things. I'm looking for the house of symbols. Could I disappear into your belly buttons? It's hard to eat shit without having visions.
So this is the third installment of a character whose story I'm writing at the moment. So he's been going to a place where he can get souls that he has collected being removed, or rather taken off him, so that they do not plague him. And he has finally come out of the office of the so-called doctor who actually has him in his endeavor. Keith walks forward, ignoring the life around him. Despite his experience and the vast amount of operations he has already performed, no faded soul is lost on him. The thought of those accompanies him until he reaches his home. Without knocking, He presses the handle down and the door gives way. The antechamber is painted white with no natural light coming in, matching the cold tiles on the floor. In fact, the entire space is isolated from reality, a wedge between his home and the world. Here, the chilled air renders dormant any uninvited spirit. Even time will appear frozen, or rather, excluded. Only a faint smell of incense anchors the mind. Keith finally reaches and opens the door on the opposite side of the room, only to be barred by the stern stare of one of his wives. He stands there, stunned. Without a single word, she has forbidden entry until his shoes, his bag, and his coat are removed and hung to the wall. The air and the ground are cold, and the cold heavy. Keith struggled a bit to remove it, only succeeding as his second wife, one with softer features, comes to provide an assistance he promptly refuses. They are his guardian angels, godsent and fragile, two souls he was able to save against all odds. They must be guarded from the harm of his burden. Their clear light would be all too attractive to some of the tortured soul he must sometime carry. In return for his precaution, they give him back his humanity. In their mutual embrace, he is no longer an envoy of the gods, only the head of his own family. Soon, the scream of his excited children nearby called the parent out of him too.
From this piece. Also Shadowbell also inspired this, but I'm not allowed to tell you what that means. When you inhale, the earth inhales. When you exhale, the candle flame twitches. A firefly, one firefly, reflected in the window by your eye. It flicks like a flame. Its cold light lamps alone with no mate. This is called a homeless firefly. My glowworm heart cocoons in solitude, out of space and time, like a star out the window in the dark. And a lone firefly goes out.
This song was this song was knocking up my head all day. My uncle sings it a lot. I always assumed, because I've only ever heard a song by my uncle, that it was like an old like country western song. But it was actually written by the Waterboys. I just found out. Thought it was like from way back in the annals of time, but it's actually from 1988, written by Mike Scott. Which?
Lego.
much like indeed more power all about the West. Yeah, but it was in my head all day anyway, so I said I'd say it, and you know, how this thing's come into your head ever. Who knows? But anyway, it's called Has Anybody Here Seen Hank? I ain't here for to do any business. I ain't got nobody special to thank. I'm trying to find a friend of mine. Has anybody here seen Hank? Well, he's sure to be wearing a Stetson. He's as long and as thin as a plank. He's got a fistful of charm and a gun beneath his arm. Has anybody here seen Hank? Now, he ain't in the back of a limo, and he ain't in his bed. He ain't in jail. He ain't in on bail. And he ain't getting out of his head. I don't care what he did with his women. I don't care what he did when he drank. I want to hear just one note from his lonesome old throat. Has anybody here seen Hank? Has anybody here seen Hank? Unless anybody else wants to jump up, open the open mic.
We do covers.
Oh, cover one, apparently.
We skipped room a second, like.
We have one more person on the open mic, and you have. There's still a little bit of time if anybody else does want to jump up and do something. So, holler at us, but unless somebody intervenes, this is going to be the last reader of the night, and it's going to be Jim Crickard.
Woo! Yay! I thought you forgot me there.
Please.
So this poem is called Hair. And it's about like kind of like a woman who wears a wig and she washes it. I just don't know where it came from. As all of my identity floats in the sink, in a foaming porcelain pool, I consider whether wearing the hair of a stranger means inheriting their karma. Through the window, the streetlights fizz like orange glow, like Lucozade. I gaze at effervescent rays on wigless trees and decide to stay inside until the sun has become a swallowed lozenge. Until the full moon smiles down in the town like a bald woman. That's a bit strange image. The bathroom mirror is a canvas. I am a mannequin and I am the artist. Always meticulous about rinsing the stitching of the polyurethane cap. My hair care routine borders along superstition. Like a blind healer, my hands know if the water needs treatment. I won't bother calling the council again. They never understand me, asking if I mean frozen when I say the water's too hard. And I contemplate this. Wearing the hair of a stranger means inheriting their karma. I'm picturing my donor as a young woman with long strands of strawberry blonde, waving wands to the follically challenged. Although I know she is probably a saint, I'd rob all of her follicles in an instant. With hopeful squelch of wax in my hands, I beat texture into this borrowed hair, combing a convincing flare, making it mine. Once I see the Mona Lisa in the mirror, I will climb off this easel, and breeze into the evening like the bride of nightfall.
Thanks a lot, Jim, for that. Woohoo!
So this is a poem by Judy Garland. You know Judy Garland, the...
I'm a friend.
I'm a friend, yes. So gotten very into her lately, and I never realised that she wrote loads of poems, so we found this poem today and thought that it was, so it's called The Wish by Judy Garland. Would that my pen were tipped with magic wand, that I could but tell of my love for you, that I could but write with the surge I feel when I gaze upon your sweet face. Would that my throat were blessed by the nightingale, that I could but sing of my heart's great love, in some lonely tree flooded with silver, sing till I burst my breast with such passion, sing, then fall dead to lay at your feet.
Yeah.